Thank you, Anna. I don't know if I'd ever heard the words to Holly in the Ivy before. It's just a da 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 da. That's cool. Our scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the third chapter, reading verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler in Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler in the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as has been said a couple times already, this is the first Sunday of Advent. It is the very first day of Advent. And Advent means preparation. It is a season of preparation. So how's it going? How's it going at your house? Our house, we got the tree up, and we got a kind of a mess with the lights. We got to figure out the lights. Getting stuff done. How's it at your house? Have you started anything yet? And I don't know why, but I just thought I'd walk in here and that tree would be up, but it's not. It's the very first Sunday of Advent, so we hadn't done it yet. But that's the kind of a different preparation. We have all kinds of people working really, really hard to get things looking well. And I heard about a guy who was very busy all the time trying to get things ready for his house. And he was, you know, kind of a Clark Griswold, if y'all remember a Christmas Vacation movie. He wanted his house to look really, really good. But he was working and working and working. And he had handmade the letters to Noel. Every year he would put, they were chest high and this deep, made out of wood. And they had lights on them. And they were painted, he painted them white. And they had this elaborate kind of structure at the bottom to keep them standing up. And every year he would put Noel in his yard, which, you know, all we think of is the hymn, the first Noel. In French, Joyeux Noel means Merry Christmas. It's a French word for Christmas. But this one particular year, he got really, really, really busy, and he couldn't get it done. And his kids were asking him, Dad, when are you going to put Noel in the yard? When are you going to get it? And he says, I'm trying, but I got to go here. I got to get it. Finally, it got down to Christmas Eve, and he hadn't done it yet. And so he just, like, it was actually after dark, and he finally lugged these things, you know, out of the attic, lugged them down the stairs, put them outside, and got them all set up and got them lit. And he was like, okay, finally, I got it done. So then they all went to bed, and then Christmas morning, they're sitting around, and the kids go, Dad, what did you do? And he said, what do you mean? And they said, look at it. And they opened the door, and he goes, yeah, it's Noel. And he said, no, go down to the road and look at it. And he went down the road, and looking back, it said Leon, which is not what you want. So we got to be careful about how busy we get during Christmas. Don't want Noel to turn into Leon. But the other part is, how is it going in your heart? How's it going in your soul about welcoming Jesus this year? Because we all, you know, I say this at Easter and at Christmas. I used to wonder, how can a preacher preach on the same scriptures every single year? And because they're the same ones. And finally I realized is the scripture doesn't change, but we do. And you and I have never heard these scriptures as the people we are today and the things that have happened this year since the last time that we heard them. And so we're going to hear these things differently. And it's a challenge every year to sort of open our hearts, to prepare our hearts for Jesus coming at Advent. And I want to hear, Anne Lamott is a writer I like a whole lot. And she just put this on her blog. She said, Advent is about the coming of Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so as the fields outside our windows go to sleep, we stay awake and watch, holding to the belief that God is with us, is close and present, and that we will be healed. I want that belief and that patience. I check the box on the form, choosing that, but it has not been forthcoming. I have instead been feeling a little, what is the psychiatric term? Cuckoo. It's not that I don't have a lot of faith. It's just that I also have a lot of mental problems. And I want to fix them all. I want to do that now, or at least by tomorrow afternoon, right after lunch. And I think that's kind of the dilemma we kind of all find ourselves in, is we want to snap our fingers and have everything inside us be right this year for Advent and for Christmas. But it's always an exercise. That's why we have the season of Advent this whole month to get there. So let's look at the scripture, because I think it can help us today about preparing. And I want you to understand something about this scripture. This is the third chapter of Luke, not, you know, the second chapter of Luke has got all the Christmas stories in it. You know, this is the third chapter. And so the last part of chapter 2 is the adolescent Jesus, teenager Jesus, going to the temple, everything, discussing with the scribes. And then it says that the famous Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And that's the old way of saying it, but that's the end of chapter 2. So this is the beginning of chapter 3. So this is when Jesus is grown and John the Baptist is grown. And so we have to kind of know that. And one of the interesting things to me about this is you hear him start out, and Luke's really good about locating everything in time. You know exactly when it is because he's going to tell you who the emperor was. You know, he's going to tell you, you know, it's the emperor Tiberius, and it's Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip was there. I'm not going to pronounce those things again. And the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. And so he's got all this secular power, all these people. And it's almost like he's saying, okay, you have all these people in high positions and these high priests. And the word of God came to John in the wilderness. You hear that? That contrast right there. He says, this is when all these people had all this power. But the word of God came to John in the wilderness. And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind, is that it doesn't have to be that we are hitting on all cylinders and all our dreams have been fulfilled and we have great expanse in our lives. You've got this guy, John, who's just in the desert, and the word of God came to him. And then he quotes Isaiah 40, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And I think it's important, we don't get this very often, that prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare is imperative. It's a command. It's not like an option. It's not a suggestion. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's for all of us to know that is God is commanding us to prepare, not just because we need it. But God is inviting us to prepare the way of the Lord with God, that God is part of it. And we have to find ways of doing that. We have to figure out how to do that in our lives. And what works for you may not be the same thing that works for me. But that's why we have this season, is to try to figure out how do we prepare. And that's, I think, what Anne Lamott was talking about. How does she do it? But God doesn't do it by himself and doesn't do it autonomously. God wants us to be partners with God in his coming. We share in the Advent. And so part of it is that John was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And we have to kind of look at what that means. Like, what do you need to repent from? What do I need to repent from? And repent just means turn around, to stop doing. And it may be just sort of letting go of old hatreds. It may be forgiving people that we have a very hard time forgiving for good reason. But allowing that you're doing something that's going to open you up to the Spirit of God. And repenting is looking and saying, maybe I need to be the one that changes. Maybe I am not doing it all exactly right. You have to have that attitude. You have to have that attitude that I can change something myself. Maybe I need to forgive some people. Maybe I need to get over some bitterness that I have, and that's what's blocking the way. Maybe I need to get over some anger that I have. But what do I need to repent of in order to make my heart a warm habitation for Jesus? And here's the other thing. I just think this is so interesting. Grammar is important in life, and it's important in the Bible. And you know the old thing, the sentence, let's eat, comma, grandma. And if you take away the comma, it's just let's eat grandma. Y'all didn't get that, did you? It's really important, the comma, let's eat grandma. And there's a comma here, but in the Hebrew, in Isaiah, it wasn't there. And so a lot of times you hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. But it could just as easily be a voice cries, comma, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. It's exactly of equal possibility in this text. And I like that better, actually. Because we all want to have this kind of like Christmas spirit and everything's warm and glowing and good. And that's when we finally kind of rev it up, you know, we listen to the right music and we have the right scented candle going on, you know, and everything. And that somehow is going to make Christmas great. But actually, what if it's that the normative thing for Jesus to come is that you're in the wilderness? Man, I can get behind that. And all of us have got this different kind of wilderness stuff here. In the wilderness, prepare the way. That's what God is expecting, that you in your wilderness will be preparing. And so what is my wilderness today? I could list a couple of things, but I think for me, this is my first Christmas without my mother. You know, Mom died in April of this year. And, you know, a year before that, you know, she was still having dementia, but she could recognize me a little bit. And then 2 years ago, she was very, very lucid. And, you know, you have lots of memories with your parents at Christmas. So the thing in my wilderness right now is I've got to sort of work out, how do I do Christmas without my mom in my life? How do I do that? And your wilderness is different, but it's there. I know it's there. I know some of it because I know some of your lives. But, you know, it's really that we all have things to overcome and obstacles. And the great good news to me is that God is saying, look, in your wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You don't have to rev it up and make it nice and get it all better before I come. I come in the midst of what you've got going on and the things you're struggling with. And whether that is, you know, what I've got, like grief, or it's addiction, or it's hurt and anger and unforgiveness. Or as Anlamott says, it's not that I don't have a lot of faith, it's just that I also have a lot of mental problems. Maybe we feel absolutely cuckoo, as she would say right now, in the wilderness. And it's okay. It's okay. That's normative for preparing the way of the Lord. Now, there's one more thing in this passage I think we overlook a lot of times. And as it goes all the way back, it talks about healing, okay? And so the result of preparing the way of the Lord and making this path straight is this, that every valley shall be filled. And you can kind of, you know what your valley is, and it will be filled. Every mountain, every obstacle will be made low. The crooked will be made straight, The rough places will be made smooth. And here's the kicker. Verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And it's always important to remember that when you see that word in Scripture, salvation, it can equally be translated healing. This is Hebrew, but in Greek, it's the word sozo. And so when it says the salvation of the Lord, it means the healing of the Lord. And if you think about the places in your life, and it could be any from childhood, it can be any time, where you have been broken, places in your life where you need healing, that is the result of Advent. And we don't think about that very much with Advent, but the result is that all flesh shall see the healing of God. And the most amazing thing to me, and what I've loved about this church, is that I have seen in this church people be healed of things. Not, you know, everything great, but healing happens little by little. People get healed of those things. And it's because of the love of this congregation. It's for y'all's love, y'all's listening to each other, and the Holy Spirit in our lives healing us. And so if you feel that kind of brokenness, and I, you know, think of Emma Lamont again, you know, she feels cuckoo, you know, God can help heal her of that cuckoo. But that is for us, and for me and my loss of my mom, and whatever that injury would be, that is part of Advent this time. As I think about her at Christmas, not being here, that is healing. So God... In Advent, it's a time for us to heal me with my loss and you with yours. I've got just a couple little quotes I want to do. And I have this continuing education group that meets, you know, as a bunch of pastors and educators, and we've been meeting for years and years and years. And we have a text thread, that, and also email threads that we do. We send each other little quotable quotes and stuff. And it's generally kind of funny, and sometimes it's off color, and I try to correct those people. But I found one from during COVID that really resonated with me, and it's from my friend Patty Winter. And Patty died last year in October. She was at a mall and fell and hit her head and had a subdural hematoma and died. So this is very special to find this from her. And it's during COVID when we were all locked down and none of us were seeing each other at Christmas. And her husband, Tommy, was being treated for cancer at this time. And I guess the thread was that what gets you right now in Advent, what really gets to you. And so this is what there's a commercial for the American Society of Prevention to Cruelty to Animals, and I'm sure it probably had a lot of sweet-looking dogs, you know, that you could adopt. Anyway, here's what she said. The ASPCA commercial gets me. The fact that the president had the ability to get immigrant kids and their parents back together and did not gets me. Come thou long expected Jesus gets me. Putting together a bunch of slides of the kids from last year's Christmas pageant to be used virtually this year because of COVID gets me. And I have wept good holy tears for all the places that break me. But I'm also decorating my house after having a pain block this morning. And a wonderful Advent CD is playing. And Tommy's lab work was all good this week. So into our mess, Jesus still comes. It's really so hard to believe that this time around, but my peeps have convinced me that that is still true, and I love you all for that. And the one I hung out, into our mess, Jesus still comes. And that's the way Jesus has always done it. This other quote is Frederick Buechner, and he was doing a sermon on the walk to Emmaus and why those guys walking on the road to Emmaus did not recognize Jesus when they were walking. And he talked about Peter, you know, not recognizing Jesus on the beach, and about Mary Magdalene seeing Jesus at the tomb and thinking it was the gardener. You know, why don't we recognize Jesus? And here's what he says. It's precisely at such times as these that Jesus is apt to come into the very midst of life at its most real and inescapable, not in a blaze of unearthly light, not in the midst of a sermon, not in the throes of some kind of religious daydream, but at supper time or walking along a road. This is the element that all the stories of Christ's return to life have in common. He never approached from on high, but always in the midst of people, in the midst of real life, and the questions that real life asks. So come, Lord Jesus, in the midst of our grief, in the midst of our cuckoo-ness, in the midst of our busyness, our Leon moments, in the midst of our illness, our brokenness, come, Lord Jesus, in our wilderness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Lord, we're just getting started with our preparations for Advent. So it's good on this very first day we can bring ourselves to you and ask you to come into our lives, into the everyday mess of our lives. Help us to be able to forgive. Help us to be able to heal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.